This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. When I was first mulling over the idea of Everything is Workable, I didn't have a clear vision of how it would look, but I knew I definitely didn't want it to be full of a lot of religiosity. Yes, I'm a Buddhist, and for me, Buddhism provides a brilliant structure and framework to do the work that I want to do, but I don't for one second think that everyone should be a Buddhist. In fact, to think that would be really un-Buddhist. Taking a brilliant quote from an article by Lisa Carver, published in Lion's Roar, www.lionsroar.com, Buddhism doesn't draw attention to itself as the thing that matters. Rather, it's a vehicle to get you to the thing that matters. Regardless of the framework that I use, my intention with this podcast and blog is to help people help themselves, to show people how to engage with their own curiosity so that they can live happy, content lives. Ultimately, the only thing that we can change is our own state of mind. How we do this is very individual, and in that regard, we are our own greatest teachers, because it's up to us to find out what works and what doesn't, and then to let go of what doesn't and apply what does. And that's a very personal process. It's a process of experimenting, leaving behind, and then cultivating. And that whole process is what makes a practice. Practice itself is pretty standard Buddhist language. Anyone who's been to an introductory meditation class will have meditation explained to them as a practice. But for the purpose of this podcast, I want to really look at the word practice and what it means when it's not about habituating a technique or way of doing things. A lot of the time, we'll use a word and take for granted that everyone around us has the same understanding of it. But the meaning of words can be really different to different people. This is why it's important to have a shared definition of a word before we move forward with discussing it. In fact, I think it's really fun to discuss how we define words based on our own personal experience. It's kind of something that I do quite a lot, actually, sort of as a contemplation on my own or something to bring up as a conversation with friends. I love having conversations about the language that we use, because it helps me to understand other people's experiences and to communicate my own experience better and more effectively. Plus, when I hear a different way of defining a word or using a word, it allows me to think about it differently. When we have these conversations, like I'm talking to different people, they're really challenging some fixed ideas that I might not even realize that I had. Thinking about a word we are familiar with in a different way can be incredibly transformative. I know it opens up a lot of things for me when I'm having a conversation about language with someone and they challenge an idea that I have about a word that I use really commonly. Or maybe I don't use it so commonly, so I haven't really thought about what it means. In fact, I could probably do an entire episode on language and how the words we use can limit us or liberate us depending on how we define them and how tightly we hold on to our definitions. But today, the word and the topic is practice. So, practice. When it's being talked about in Buddhism, it tends to have two meanings. On the one hand, it means meditating. Like, as a Buddhist, if I go to a practice evening at a Buddhist center, it means that I'm going to sit down and meditate in a room with a bunch of other people. Or if I'm talking to somebody, I could say things like, how's your practice going? And that generally it's assumed that I mean I'm asking them, how has meditating been for you lately? But within Buddhism, it also means application of the teachings to our lives. I've been mulling this over for some time and thought what would be really helpful would be to look up the actual definition of the word in a dictionary. Disclaimer here, just because the dictionary says this is the definition of the word doesn't mean that's right. It's just a good reference to have. So, by dictionary definition, practice is the customary, habitual, or expected procedure or way of doing things, or it's the actual application or use of an idea, belief, or method, as opposed to theories relating to it. So meditation is a practice of habitually sitting in a particular way and noticing the breath, a procedure of posture, mind, and intention. But the application of practice happens post-meditation, which is like in your life, day to day. And for those of you who don't meditate, it's what happens in your life day to day. We all have ways of applying the wisdom that we cultivate into our lives. For example, we might go on a course and to learn how to communicate more effectively at work, for like that sort of thing. The course provides us with techniques, practice, as in the procedure we can use to communicate effectively. And it probably also can give us some opportunities to try them out a bit, right? See what happens. It's like something that our employers paid for us to go to, so we get to do some role playing, see what happens. But the application of the techniques, how we actually use them in the workplace after that course is over and done with, we have left that set little bubble where we could role play. We're actually out there in the real world, in our life, at our job. How we apply what we learned is our choice. And it's all about learning how to apply it in a non-theoretical way, to actually live what we've learned or discovered. And this involves a lot of experimentation. We might have an understanding of something that makes a lot of sense as far as the technique goes and how it's presented to us. But it is another thing entirely to apply it. And you might apply it in one situation and get really positive results. But then you apply it in another and the result is catastrophic, or it falls flat from what you'd experienced before. Ultimately, the whole thing is about being a scientist to our experience and our lives. We get to study our mind, study the world around us, and study our interactions and the outcome. We get to try saying something to find out if it's helpful or not. We get to try out doing something to see if it was of benefit or not. And a lot of the time with practice, we will get it wrong. Sometimes just a little bit wrong, but sometimes a lot wrong, which is fine. This is how we practice. This is all part and parcel to it, because this is how we learn. No one ever learned anything from getting something right the first time. We learn a lot from failing. I personally didn't understand this whole business of practice for a very long time, despite listening to a lot of talks that were pointing at this very thing. I didn't really understand that the technique wasn't the practice. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't practicing. I just didn't realize that what I was doing when I was experimenting and trying out these teachings and applying them to my life was practicing. I didn't get that that's what I was doing when I was doing those things. I thought that sitting in meditation in the correct posture was the point. And I missed that it was actually when I heard a specific teaching that said to try a particular approach to a situation, and then I did try that approach, that this was practice. I want to provide an example. And I'm going to do this outside the context of Buddhist teachings, aka Dharma, because I really want to illustrate the point that having a practice is not a Buddhist thing, but a lifestyle thing. Like, it's how you can choose to live your life. It's a way we choose to live our lives. To make it really applicable, my example comes from Facebook. So, I'm not on Facebook very often. And one day I get a text from one of my nearest and dearest friends asking me to go check out something that they posted in response to something else that someone else had posted. They were upset and they wanted some advice. So the gist of it was, someone they knew made a comment about the choice of clothing people were wearing in the summer. Specifically younger people, and most pointedly, female people. My friend, who was affronted by some of the generalizations and the general negative judgment passed on the clothing choices of others, posted a status. They created their own status in response to this person's status, congratulating people for wearing what they were comfortable with, regardless of the judgments of others. The response to this was another status update from the person who had started the whole thing, as it were, whatever that means, stating that they'd only said what they had said out of concern for young women who felt the need to dress provocatively in order to value themselves. Now, this is a relatively sticky situation. First of all, it's all a bit passive-aggressive because it's happening online between people who are not actually saying what they're saying in direct response to each other, just updating their statuses. but each of them are doing a response to what the other person has written. On the one hand, I sympathize that it's very sad when anyone feels that they must dress in a certain way in order to impress or attract others. But on the other hand, just because someone dresses in a particular way doesn't mean that they are doing it to impress or attract. We simply can't know what someone's motivation is for wearing something unless we A, ask them, or B, can read their minds. The whole thing got me thinking about my own approach, however. I considered how often I make a judgment, even just a thought, about what other people choose to wear. And it was about how my friend had worded their status when they updated it. It asked people to really think about the judgments that they pass. So for a week, I decided to experiment. I consciously made the decision to notice how often I had a negative thought about other people's choice of clothing, haircut, general outward appearance, whatever it was. I just decided, you know, I'm going to be curious. I want to notice what happens. Now, I consider myself a pretty open and accepting person. I believe that I take people as they are, and I regularly set the intention for myself to let go of my expectations of how others should be and just see them genuinely, openly, without fixed ideas. It was embarrassing to realize how often I passed negative judgment on the clothing choices of other people. How often I caught my thoughts making snide remarks about color combinations or a style of jeans or a choice of the top or whatever it was. It was kind of humbling. It was really humbling. And it was incredibly honest. It was a practice of awareness that proved hugely beneficial because I didn't know all of this about myself. I didn't realize how often I was really judging other people's choices. So I then moved it along to a different level. So for the next week, whenever I noticed that I had a negative thought about other people's clothing, I consciously looked for something about them that I appreciated in that moment. And I smiled at them. I smiled at complete strangers, almost by way of apology. And then they would smile back. And suddenly, they weren't this one-dimensional person with a questionable wardrobe. They were a human being who, just like me, has a personal sense of fashion and taste in clothing that is exactly that. Personal. Not something to be criticized or commented on, but just another aspect of their full human selves and how they choose to express themselves in the world. And the entire practice was provoked by my friend's very honest post that really asked, who are we to say that someone overweight shouldn't wear form-fitting jeans? Who are we to say that teenage girls shouldn't wear crop tops? Who are we to say that a guy with a beer belly shouldn't wear a tank top? Getting down to practice is about being curious, seeing what we can apply, and it's about being curious about ourselves as much as anything else. The reason that I love listening to Dharma talks is because there are so many pithy things that I can work with. Stuff like that, where it like asks you and challenges you to try something out. But these things are available everywhere. They really are. I mean, there's loads of memes on the internet with very good sayings that I see people post and repost and repost, and yet they don't apply them. I see that they're not applying them at the same time. And I know because I don't always apply them as well. But they're there. There's like lots of really good things that you can pull from. And What happens then when you take these really nice pointed things and you apply them to your life, to your day to day, is you create this sense of a practice. And the practice is it's something that helps you open up and be more curious, more inclined to question your own mind, to question if you've closed it down, to see how flexible you can become. I know these are all the things that happen for me. It's definitely a process of opening up. I'll be listening to these talks, these Dharma talks, and people will ask questions at the end about how to apply what they're learning in their lives. They'll say, "It's all very well and good to do this while on retreat, but what happens when I go home? What happens when I go to work? What happens when I'm with my family?" Over and over and over, the answer is always the same. Just apply it. Just do it. And you don't have to get the stuff from Dharma. As my story above illustrates, as all those lovely memes on the internet illustrate, you can get it from anywhere, from a conversation with a friend, from a tweet that you might read in passing, or from something overheard on a bus. You don't need to be on retreat to work with your mind. Life doesn't have to reach a certain point for you to work on your mind. You certainly don't have to be a Buddhist. To practice is to understand that everything is workable, every moment is fresh. Life is an experiment, and the future is unwritten. Conduct yourself according to this, and then you'll have a practice. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Funwolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.